Yes. But what if you don't have an extra change of clothes because maybe that got wet with the Coke that dropped on you in the back seat, so you need two extra sets of clothes? We're always planning ahead. Well, you know what? As singers, we need to plan ahead. One of the very first things that I want you to think about is, what can you plan ahead for? You know, all that extra time that you're sitting, kind of not doing nothing? You know, the worship leader goes, oh yeah, we'll get to that. 9 times out of 10, nobody gets to nothing. You just sort of jump up there and sing whatever the good Lord tells you to sing for that day. And you say, thank you, Jesus, at the end of the day. I hope I did you well. And there you go. And nobody seems to progress any further. And it all happens that way. Yes? Yes. Yes. Amen. Do I hear an amen? Okay. So you have to plan ahead. And part of planning ahead is also preparing. You got to prepare for lots of different things to happen. Before your handout gets here, I want to talk to you about, and I really want you to see if you can write it down. So go ahead and take your pens and your outlines out. It might be redundant once we get our handout, but I want to cover it right now. I want to talk about some specific things you can do. See, we're going to start to build a foundation. Build a foundation of your activities. Because if anyone hasn't told you what to do while you're waiting around in rehearsal, I'm going to give you some ideas, and then you can decide amongst yourselves which idea you're going to choose. The first thing that I want you to come in with is a desire and an absolute commitment to prayer. Absolute commitment to prayer. Now, I know you're saying, well, what does that have to do with vocals? It has everything to do with vocals. How many of you sing way better in the shower or in the car when nobody's watching you than you sing in public? It's because you're at a place of rest. You're at a place of peace. You're at a place where you're not taking anything too serious. You don't think anybody's looking at you with the big Simon Cowell goggles on, telling the big American Idol in the sky all the things that you're doing wrong. Okay? You're relaxed. You're happy. Part of prayer is not only praying for your team, but also praying for the guys in the band. Something happens spiritually. In your families, all it takes is one person, either the husband or the wife, to have an attitude of prayer, and it changes the climate in the whole house. Yes? Well, this is the house of God. And there's a lot of times where drama happens for the rehearsals, where things are going on. Maybe one of your friends is going down for the count, who's one of the singers. That is the time to pray. And I drive that home because when we have an attitude of prayer, when we're committed absolutely to prayer, then we begin that as an action. It's an action step that you take in. You can rely and you have actually confidence in prayer. Okay? The second thing that I want you to do is I want you to listen. When you're sitting down there, you need to be listening. Listening all the time to what song are they going over. You need to write down the name of that song. You need to be studious about what you're doing. If you have books, you need to be going over. When the band rehearses, you rehearse. When the band is coming up with a groove, you listen to what the groove is doing. Whatever the band is doing, you're doing the same thing. The only thing that's different is your instrument is here. Your instrument is in your body. Everybody else's instrument, they carried in from the car, or it's already there on the stage. But your instrument is here. So if you're going to have, what if the piano player was sitting in the front row and he didn't get a chance to be a part of the rehearsal? That would hardly ever happen. Right? But that's what you're required to do. Do you have an extra? Whatever extra you have so I can just go off the outline. Yeah. Oh, thanks. I'll print out the rest. You got it. Thanks, Bloomherd. So you have to consider yourself an instrumentalist. Consider yourself an instrumentalist. Now, we're going to back up a little bit, and I want you to go to the top of your page. It should say Modern Vocal Arrangements for Worship Part 1. Right here, we're talking about building a foundation. I'm talking about biggest fear. Biggest fear, it goes spiders third, death second. What do you think's number one? Public speaking, being up in front of people. Okay, so write that in. It's actually public speaking is your number one fear. Yes, over death. People have reported that it's scarier to be up in front of people than it is to do anything. Now, the reason why I bring this up is look how unnatural it is for you to be up as a singer. Most unnatural thing. You have nothing to hide behind. I don't have this nice big keyboard to hide behind. I have this little skinny thing that I can't hide. Here it is. I'm trying to hide from you. Can't see me. You know, no. So in order to be a good singer, in order to get to those slick arrangements, in order to do anything, you have to come to a place of comfort where you're actually playing the instrument. It's like, you know, the guitar is in the case, but it's shy. It doesn't want to come out. That's kind of how a singer is. Once you hit that stage, everything gets bigger. So you have to come to a place where you are confident. I tell my choir, sing only the notes you know. Don't sing any other note. If you only know one note, sing that note strong. When you learn more notes, you'll sing more notes stronger. But it's about getting the mindset of being strong. Okay, number two is realize you are where you are because God wants you there. Sometimes we trip in our mind and we shoot ourselves in the foot. Well, I don't know. I never really wanted to be a singer, but so-and-so asked me to be a singer in the band, so I'm like, here I am. I'm singing. I mean, the last time I sang, I think, was in junior high. I was in a production of Charlotte's Web. I was Charlotte. You know, And we get insecure about why we're there. A singer actually has to be one of the most confident people on the stage. Now, I'm not saying diva. No. What? Okay, no, I'm not saying diva. I'm saying confident. Meaning if someone tells you to sing, you know, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. They don't want you to, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Okay, they want you to be able to sing. Singing, you have to have no excuse for not being there. You would not be there if God did not want you to be there. So who's bigger, God or you feeling like, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't sing this song, maybe I shouldn't be there. No, if God didn't want you there, he would give you a flat tire on the way there, you wouldn't have shown up. Okay, so every time that you're there and you're facing those little insecurities, you have to say to yourself, you know what, I'm here because God wants me to be here. Amen. You know, I know my strengths, the older you get. I know my strengths, I know my weaknesses, I know who I am. Okay, that comes with age. Those of you younger, you'll come to that. But knowing what you're good at, knowing what you need to work on, and just be confident. Like I said, sing only the notes you know. That's right. That's right. Sing only the notes you know. Okay. Next one. Find complete fulfillment and be content. Now, I bring up all these different obstacles because sometimes we're not content. The things that cause no contentment are, do we have to sing that song again? We've sung that song like 5 million times. That song is like so old, it's like older than my grandmother. Do we have to sing that song again? Do we have to sing that song the same old way, the same stinking way? I know it by heart, I'm so bored. She always gets the solo. I never get the solo. I've been working just as hard as her, but she seems to always get the solo. What's wrong? Is there something wrong with me? Maybe I'm stuck. Maybe I'm not good. I know that's the problem. I'm horrible. Lord, why do you have me here? Tortured. No contentment. The pastor doesn't like me. I see him looking at me with that evil eye. Every time I sing, I don't know. It seems like it's only me. He sits in the front row and he eyeballs me. I know he does. The church hates the music. I see those people. They hate it. They fold their arms. They look at me with that bad face. They don't like the music. A lot of things that cause no contentment. You need to say something like, thank you, God, for having me be a part of this worship team. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you, Lord, for that song that we've sung a million times. Because you know what? In another country, we had no freedom to sing it at least once. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for my pastor. I'm going to trust and believe he's looking at somebody else. You know? Thank you, Jesus. We need to be content and fulfilled because those of you, and I know there might be some of you in here that really want to serve more or go up to the next notch, or you're feeling frustrated. You're like, Lord, you gave me this vision. You gave me this dream. You gave me this, like they were talking about in the morning session. You gave me this thing in my head, and I want to really impact music and church, and I just want to do it, and I can't do it, and all this other stuff is happening. And you know what? God will make it happen for you when you learn to be content and grateful, happy. Thank you, Jesus, for that singer that doesn't like me. Yeah, no, there are those singers who don't like you. It happens. We're in worship with people. People are people. You know? People who are people. Okay. Discover other ways to contribute to rehearsals, services, etc., in addition to singing. This was something that I was telling you about. My first thing was be committed to what? Prayer. Always. Okay? The second thing was what? Listen, right? Listen. When you're listening, I want you to begin to write down the form of the song. Now, we'll be going over more of the mechanics in part two of this class. But you need to be aware of what the song does. How many bars are in the intro? Whatever intro we decide. When does the chorus come up? Do we start with the chorus? And this is just a rehearsal because, as you know, worship sometimes it changes all over the place. Well, that's not what we rehearsed. Be content. Be thankful. That's right. I tell this story all the time about my mom. My mom never let us get away with anything, ever. Like if we complained about anything, you know, Mom, my legs are so fat. Be glad you have legs. Mom, I'm having a bad hair day. Be glad you have hair. You could be bald. Okay. So in a way, sometimes when I'm like, you know, listening to stuff or whatever, you know, I hate this song. Be glad you have a song to even sing. You know, glad you even have the opportunity. So be thinking of ways just to be thankful. This is another thing. You're listening to the form. Be thankful you're doing the song. If it changes, it changes. Be flexible. It's okay. But you still, when you're flexible, you still need to know who you are. You still need to know what you can sing. You still need to have a basic idea of how to grow that particular vocal track, so to speak. Okay? You need to identify your personal strengths. I think many times as singers, we're hyper-focused on our weaknesses. We can't even get to the slick arrangement of anything if you're trying to pull teeth. Hey, let's just say you have this great idea. Hey, let's try this. This would be really awesome. Let's do this. And the singer's looking at you like, eye of doe. I have no eye of tiger. I am scared to death. I don't know if I can sing that. Well, there goes your whole opportunity to try to do something brand new. You have to know your strengths. What do you know that you know that you know that you do well? What do you do well? It could be one thing. It could be two things. It could be three things. It could be half a thing. It could be something you did in 1972. I don't know. Whatever it is. You need to know what you do well. And I want you to write down two things right now that you know vocally you do well. Because everything must be built on your strengths, not trying to chase after your weaknesses. What do you do well? Two things. Two things you know you do well. If you can't come up with it right now, write one, two, fill it in later. Number six, know who you are and what you can do. Now, I put who you are and what you can do because you know what? Nobody can take those two things away. Nobody can take it away. I teach at the LA Music Academy, and I teach an entire secular class there. And I just tell them all the time, no one can take that away. Who are you? You're a nice person. You're a compassionate person. You're a person seeking after God. If my voice cracks on Sunday morning, that nobody can take that away. Right? I'm a nice person. I pray hard. I'm seeking after God. And I croaked on Sunday morning. Big deal. Right? Nobody and nothing. But sometimes we get so afraid. Oh, no, I can't do that. What if I crack? Well, nobody's going to go arrest you. Oh, you know. The vocal police is coming to go lock you up now. You know, we have to try. You have to take risks, okay? Know who you are and what you can do. Nobody can take that away. And you have to stand on those times where you're feeling insecure. You're feeling like, oh, no, no, no. You have to stand on those things. What do you do well, okay? It doesn't matter what your level of excellence is. A singer needs to know their starting point and their continuation point. It's a map. You are here. You may say, just honest assessment. I'm a singer. I don't sing harmonies. I'm a solo singer, but I have a hard time blending. When someone else is singing, I sing right along with them. Can't hold my part, save my life. Someone hold a gun to my head, I'm still singing right with them. They're my best friend, okay? But it's no big sin. I mean, you know, thou shalt not sing with your brother or sister. You know what I mean? It's just something. You have to give yourself an honest assessment. Well, we get embarrassed. Well, I don't know. I better not say that. Somebody's going to get mad. Well, that's the truth. So then you just do like you do with anything else, and you develop that skill. Okay? Right down here, I said, Nay, three things you do well. You could do this later. Kind of goes along with the two that I had you do up more, but I am a constant believer that when you start with positives and you start building that, it's like Philippians 4:11. Whatever things are good, whatever things are noble, whatever things are of good report, think on those things. I mean, that's what the word says, right? So whatever you do well in your voice, think of those things. Did you know it takes 7 positives to negate 1 negative, to undo that in your mind? So think how many times you've cursed yourself vocally. Oh, I stink. I'm horrible. Okay, well then that was 14 times I have to tell myself I did okay. So now multiply that by the amount of times you've said it, by the amount of years you've said it, and you got a lot of relanguaging to do. Yes? Put that quick 7 right in there after that 1 negative. Focus on the things you do well. Like I said, sing only the notes you... That's right. That's right. Okay. 3 things that you would like to improve. We can probably all fill that in very quickly, but that's okay. We'll move on. You could do that later. Number 10, 98% of your vocal obstacles are mental. They're mental. If you think a note is too high, it's going to be too. If you think a phrase is too difficult, it's going to be too. If you think a song is too wild, it's going to be too. As a man thinketh. That's right. That's right. So whatever you think, that's your barometer. That's where you're going. Oh, I'm never going to sing harmonies. I'm never going to get any better than I am. Oh, I'm never, never, never. Well, guess what? You won't. If you're thinking down that road, that's where you're going to go. My friend Sue told me about the sky jumpers. And when they jump out of the airplane, the instructor says, now, I want you to just look at the target where you're supposed to land. Because what ends up happening is people start freaking out. There's the fence, there's the fence, there's the fence. The barbed wire fence. You know, there's the tree, the tree, the tree with all those big prickly bobs on them. There's the tree. And what ends up happening is they land on the barbed wire fence or they land on the prickly tree. That's why the instructor says, look at the target, look at the target. That's the same thing for you guys. The target is going to be something positive. If you continue to look at those other things, I can't sing strong, I don't think, well, sing only the notes you know, sing the best you can. Yes? Okay, moving on. In music, a singer must be able to sing on pitch. Yep. Sustain a melody, uh-huh. Sing with confidence and hold a harmony part. That's your job description. So let's say them together. What's the first thing you have to do? You need to be able to sing on? That's right. Hallelujah. Jesus. You should be able to sustain a? That's right. You have to sing with? That's right. And hold a? That's your job description. So if you're weak in any one of those points, that is a part of your training process. Okay, now I'm not saying live in denial, you know, like if you don't sing on pitch, sing, do play I Love You, Lord, you know. Yeah. So you sing, you know, I love you, Lord, you know. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Okay, you want to know something? Don't be in denial. You need to learn to sing on pitch. Ugly truth, right? Yes? Okay. You need to be able to sustain a melody. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Okay, you probably need to work on sustaining the melody. It's okay. Don't beat yourself up about it. It's mechanics. Just practice, right? Right? Okay. Sing with confidence. Well, I might have a nice voice, but once again, we go back to the meek girl. I love you, Lord, And you got your sound man in the back going, can you give me a little bit more level than that? Okay. I love you, Lord. Just a little bit more. I love you, Lord. Singing with confidence. Now, I have it later on, and I'm going to say it a million times. Do not confuse confidence with conceit. There's a difference. And I find this more with women than I do with men, because women are socialized that way. Women are socialized to ask for permission and to apologize. In my voice lessons, when I'm teaching, I can teach a gentleman, and we could do regular scales. Give me like a four-note arpeggio. Just da-da-da-da-da. And the guy will go, ah, I'll go half step. Ah, and I'll go, okay, let's go back there, do it again. Ah, okay, perfect. I'll do it with a lady, and it'll go like this. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, I'm sorry. That's okay. Sing it again. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. Okay? And that's just socialized. Men are taught, don't apologize. Just go on with it. Just do what you do. Some of you are laughing because you go, yeah, my husband's kind of like that now that you bring it up. He don't apologize for anything. No. But women are socialized to be peacemakers. Oh, are you okay? I made you feel uncomfortable. I'm so unsorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know? And so when you are a singer, you sing only the notes you... And you sing them with
confidence.
That's right, because that's what you're there for. Your role actually becomes an androgynous one. I am neither male nor female. No. But you come out there to do your job. In a war, it doesn't matter if we're in a battle. It doesn't matter if you are a monkey, a man, a woman, a small child. It doesn't matter who you are. If you can shoot the gun right now. It doesn't matter because that's the enemy. It's the same thing. We're in a war. These are our tools. Something happens musically when we're singing, when we're worship leading, we're doing. It changes the spiritual climate. We take ground for Jesus. We, you know, tenderize the hearts of the people that are sitting in that room. We lay the groundwork so the pastor can come out and do his deal. How many people have come up to you and said, I was just so moved in worship? Raise your hand. How many people have said that to you? It's a huge responsibility. Huge. It's an important job. So when you sing with confidence. Shoot the gun. We're in a war. Don't, oh no, I can't find the trigger. No, shoot the gun, okay? All right. Moving on to number 12. Ooh, second part of your job description. A singer must be low maintenance. Thank you, Jesus. Keeping their needs to a minimum, their professionalism to a maximum, and their requests concise and knowledgeable. Ooh, strike a little chord. That's right, it's true. What's that? Good luck. Phil goes, good luck. Low maintenance. Here's the thing. There's a lot of stuff going on. And even though the singer's role is very important, the singer also needs to know where they fit in as far as the rehearsal situation is going on. I wrote this later on and we'll cover it again, but the singer is the only musician on that stage that really sometimes has not had 4 hours a day for 3 years to make themselves proficient at what they do. Sometimes little Sally Joe, who sang in high school, gets up on the stage. She's got a good voice. We need a singer. Let's get Sally Joe. Okay? So Sally Joe makes it up there, and she's just going along for the ride. She doesn't know what discipline or anything like that is because she's never been taught. It's not her fault. She doesn't play an instrument. She doesn't realize that when, you know, the musical director or the worship leader is turning around, telling her to sing something or whatever, she just sung in choir. She doesn't know. So we have to develop as singers a professionalism. Professionalism says, I got a job to do. I'm going to what? When I sit here, I'm going to be committed to what? That's right. And the second thing I'm doing while I'm sitting is I'm what? I'm listening to what the band's doing because I'm an instrumentalist too, right? What's the third thing I'm going to do? Form. That's right. Write out the form. You'll be listening. As the rehearsal's going on, you'll be involved in what the form is, at least what they're rehearsing. Okay? The second thing that you're going to be listening to, if you're up on the microphones, you're going to take note of maybe what you need to listen to in your monitors. That's always the biggest deal, right? Now, how many of you in here have actually taken a sound class so you know exactly what to listen for and ask for in your monitor? How many have done that? A few of you. So important. Everybody knows something, specifically the better. Dave, isn't that helpful when somebody tells you specifically? Dave's a sound person among, you know, other talents that he has. But he does sound at Capel Beach Calvary. Doesn't that help when someone says, can you, you know, roll my high end back one notch? Or they have something, because they're helping you do your job. Every singer in here needs to take a class and listen to the mix and be able to tell a sound person basically what you need to hear in your monitor. Everybody needs to do that. That's part of your homework. That's right. Because it's just a mystery when a sound person's listening to you and you go, I don't know. It just sounds bad. I don't know what's wrong with it. It's just bad. It sounds kind of like I'm in a cave, like I'm sounding like, I don't know what's wrong with it. Can you come up here and listen to it? Something's wrong. Okay, and the whole time, rehearsal's trying to go on, and then because you're working with polite people, the rehearsal's going to stop because you're asking for something specific, and all the nice Christian polite people in the band are waiting for your request to be answered. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's wrong. Okay? You need to know what you're talking about. Concise and knowledgeable. If you're going to make a request. Sometimes I have my singers keep like a little notebook. So when we're done rehearsing, we're on that break, I'll look over to them and I'll say, what do you guys need? And they say, we need this. So great, sound man, can you do that? Blah, 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 blah. Great, let's move on. Okay? What does it mean to be professional? You're being on time. You do those things that I said. You come prayerful. You come studied. When we get to arranging, actually listening to the parts and coming up with some ideas, your job is actually to be creative. Be thinking of those ideas, but not stopping rehearsal to do it, doing as it goes along. Okay, let's move on. Okay, once again, a singer must show up on time and add to what the musicians are playing. Ideally, singers should bring the level up. If the band's at this level and they're already cranking, and it's your responsibility to be the singer on that, whatever you contribute should bring the level up. It shouldn't bring the level down. So in your own heart of hearts, you know, what do I do well? I'm going to do that well. Whatever that is that I do well, I'm going to do that because that'll contribute to bring the level up. Yes? Okay. Singers must study on their own in order to perfect their craft. Singers are the only members of the team who can walk on stage without putting any time toward practicing. Hardly any singer, well, I wouldn't say that. I would say every singer needs to spend at least an hour a day practicing. At least. That's vocal scales. That's practicing your music. That's being diligent towards your craft. That's part of being a professional. Okay? On an average, a musician must practice at least 4 hours a day to hit a level of excellence in 8 years. That's your average. Okay, a singer must be aware of culturally current styles of music and harmony voicings. In other words, we're moving on now to your ear. A lot of your study is going to be with your ear. It's going to be goofing around for those new arrangements in the car, listening to different radio stations. A lot of times what I'll do is I listen to country western, I listen to, you know, K-rock, I listen to, you know, a lot of different styles of music, and then to whatever groove it is, I'll see if I can, like, sing one of my worship songs to it. Just because it keeps me culturally correct. Now, I'm very cautious in how I say that because I'm not advocating, oh yeah, listen to, you know, music that's going to pollute your soul. You know, I'm not saying to do that. But if you're studying a disease for the cure, you need to look at the ugly of that disease and you need to do it better. You need to cure it. The style of music is like a language that you speak. The better you are at speaking it, the better the people are going to receive the message you want to portray through it. Yes? Understood? Okay. Okay. So like Snow White vocals. Way back when with Snow White, their vocal harmonies are way different than the current like Disney movies like Pocahontas. Now the reason why I say this is because those voicings are more traditional with a song in the 1940s or 50s, the melodies are a lot different. Do you notice that? Than even today. It's like, you know, your parents, your grandparents might say, they sure don't write them like they did back then. And a lot of it's true. I remember this this movie called The Incredible Mr. Limpet. Do you guys know that with the Don Knotts? It's one of my favorite movies. But they have the most perfect 1950s sounding vocal when they do that song. Be careful what you wish, for wishes can come true. As when he's, you know, falling into the water and wishing that he were a fish. Okay? But their tone's different. Their phrasing's different. The way that they do their melodies is way different. Your study as a singer overall, yes, even though you're on the worship team, is to study different styles of music. Because the best you can do with that is going to add some integrity to the songs as you arrange them. Okay. To study a style does not mean you adopt the morals behind it. Once again, I'm going to say, to study a style does not mean you adopt the morals behind it. The style is another language that a singer is then able to speak. The message comes through the language. The language does not determine the message. Now, I'm real cautious with that because a lot of times people go, "Why? I'm not going to listen to that music. I'm not going to listen to that." Morally correct. You can find cleaner versions of some of those styles. Like Heard on the Grapevine. Do you know Heard on the Grapevine? Dun, 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 dun. It's up all the way. Can you turn up the keyboard at all? Do you have an ability to do that? Very Motown. Motown has a specific sound. So play some kind of Motown-ish. Now, you know, Motown was built basically on gospel vocals, right? So maybe I would listen to this groove and I'd think to myself, what could probably go with that? I don't know, a worship song that could. Maybe I could think of it a little bit longer. But it's a great groove that I don't lose my morals listening to. Okay, to learn styles, thank you, Phil, a singer must be a good mimic. Mimic, okay? Then I put down here, do not confuse confidence with conceit. I'm going to go back to being a good mimic. There are different ways, and we're going to go over that, to pronounce words, to sing a tone. Like even when I was going, be careful what you wish, for wishes can come true. That is so 1950s. But we're not going to sing anything like that nowadays. It'd be out of style. You guys even laughed. Because why? Tongue in cheek, mad TV, funny, ha ha ha. But it was a very true style back then. So you have to know how words are pronounced. When you're singing, I don't know, what was that song today? I think it's Everlasting Love. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Right? I think it's an A. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Right? Very contemporary vocal sound. A pop sound does not include any classical sound of a large vibrato. It would sound out of place. Strength will rise. rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Sounds out of place, doesn't it? Okay. What other sound would sound out of place? Now, I'm not saying you can't do that in another song, because another song would work. Okay, the Hallelujah chorus, perfect. But we have to know what your basic contemporary pop sound is. Okay? Let's just do that real quick. I want to just identify something for you, and it has to do with the rhythm, and it has to do with the phrasing. So let's just take that song. We're just going to do those to stay on A. So let's take strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Just that much, go. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Now, the first thing you're going to want to really listen to is, where's that beat? Okay, now, a lot of singers like to carry that over. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Okay, that may sound great for American Idol, but that doesn't fit your contemporary pop sound. Contemporary pop sound has a rhythm to it, which means we have to be right in the rhythm and then get off the note. The phrases are shorter. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Now you can tell that there's a little bit of anticipation with it. Now listen to it. Tell me what else you hear. Okay? So I gave you a little hint. You hear that the phrases are shorter. Listen to it again. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. What else did you hear? Yes. Emphasis on wait. Okay? Emphasis on wait. What else did you hear? Soft consonants. Ooh, you're good, girl. I like that. She's good. I just sounded like Donkey from Shrek just now. She's good. I like it the way she is. Sorry. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. We've only seen it once, but I do like Eddie Murphy. Anyway, moving on. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. What else did you hear? Now you sing it and tell me what changes in your voice if you mimic the way I'm doing it. Okay, here we go. One, two, three, four, one. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Sing it again. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. What did you notice change in your own voice? What was a challenge? That's it? Breath. Okay, breathing. What else? More forward in the tone. What else? You did something back there. Choppier. What else do you notice? As a group, I can tell you what we're doing, but I want it to come from you. Anything else that you changed? Say it. Vibrato placement. Good. Where did you place it? On the weight. Any vibrato anywhere else? Maybe Lord, but anywhere else? No. No, done with the vibrato. Only happened on that one thing, right? What else? Go ahead, sweetie, say it. That's right. You know what? And that's a good start. Strength will rise. Diphthong will rise. That's where you're going to get off the beat. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we... flip the diphthong. That was not an obscene thing that I just said, just for the tape. Sing to the vowel, softer consonants, sing to the vowel. But we'll get caught on in a pop contemporary style, we'll get all Barbra Streisand. And we'll want to just, we'll want to really make use of them diphthongs. Strength will rise. We just want to, soak it for all it's worth, right? pop contemporary, unless you're doing the solo and you got rubato all over it, you're not going to want to, you know, soak it for all it's worth. You want to flip past it. Let's try it. Here we go. One, two, three. It's like the, what is it? It's like the planes taking off from John Wayne Airport. Just take off already. Strength, fast. Strength will rise. One, two, three, four, six. Strength will rise. In group singing or in background vocals or whatever, how do you make that sound important? Crescendo, that's right. And here's a key, write it down. Make every word important. Every word is like your friend. You don't want to ignore any of them. Before Whitney Houston's famous crack is whack, she was talking on a on an interview. That was when I lost respect. I love Whitney, but Lord, bring her back to the church. Pray her in. Let's pray right now. Lord Jesus, bring Whitney back. Okay. I'm telling you, so much talent. Anyways, she was talking to somebody, interviewed her and said, I know, I'm so sorry. Interviewed her and said, what makes you such a great singer? And she said this, I make every word sound important. Even if it's going by fast. Think about that. Is not every word that we sing to the Lord important? Is not the attention of our heart important? Now, sometimes when we're singing, All Honor, let's do All Honor real quick. So if I'm singing, that in my mind, I'm singing, all honor, all glory, all power goes to you. And in my heart, I'm not singing, it's a high note, I hope I hit it, 'cause if I don't, I'm gonna crack. Sometimes the offerings that we do to the Lord, our inner heart is singing that. I'm real nervous. I hate singing. Please, Lord, get me off this stage. We have to be aware that a good vocal performance is your heart is engaged to the note too. Get moving past all that. Okay? So along with vocal tone and vocal styles, you have to be aware of what your heart is singing. Okay? So that even when we're doing, do the A again, strength will rise. What is it? Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Sing it again. And this time, I want you to put your heart into it. Because you know what? This is not just a class. Do you get that? Do you get the fact that every time we meet together as believers, what does God say that he is? Where is he? He's in the midst. So right now, he's in the midst. He's probably laughing at my joke. He's probably saying, you go, girl, Sheree. You go tell them. I'm tired of hearing, I hope this note is not high. I'm tired of hearing that, Sheree. Tell them that I want to hear love. I want to hear all about the love. You know, when they sing this, strength will rise as we wait upon, I want to hear that it's getting stronger, because that's what we want to do, okay? So sing it now with the intention in your heart. You've already talked about a basic tone. and a basic phrasing. Now sing the intention in your heart that does it. And yes, no matter where you're at right now, no matter what's going in your life, you have a chance to rise that and really strengthen it. How many people feel stronger after they worship? I know I do. Man, I'm telling you, there have been times, and I know you can relate. You come in, you're just dragging wagon. It is the worst morning, you know. Gosh, hurry up, get your shoes. You know, I have a 10-year-old. Hurry up, we're gonna be late. You know, and then I have all that energy. And I'm singing to the Lord, I'm stressed. I'm so stressed today. You know what I mean? That's the only offering I'm giving to the Lord, you know. But it doesn't matter what's going on. Right in here we might be singing, I'm really hot. I think I'm glad I wore my deodorant. I'm so tired, it's time for my nap. Hurry up. Weird lady. I mean, you know, whatever you say. But it doesn't matter, because every opportunity that we have to worship, we need to worship. Yes? So in here, strength will rise. I don't know what key I'm in. Oh, it's on the same key. Miraculously. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, go. Strength will rise. Okay, good. Sit up straight. We need to sing with confidence. Sing with confidence. Sing with
confidence.
Sing with
confidence.
Did you know that there is one person divinely appointed every service to watch just you? One person in the service. Some of us have the same one. Yes, I know. Thank you for coming up the 50th time today. Okay? But sometimes God will appoint the one person divinely appointed to watch you. Because maybe that person might be needing your spiritual assistance. You just went through some big ordeal. You didn't tell nobody about it, but divinely, God told them. There's something about that woman. I don't know what it is. I seem to relate to her. Why? Because you just went through basically what I'm going through right now, and somehow divinely appointed that person's watching you, seeking you out like a missile. Making everything worth it that you've been through in your testimony. Amen. Amen. How many times does that happen? How could they have known? What cosmic website was that put on that somebody knew? You know, I didn't grow up in the church. When I came to the church, I looked at the choir. When I looked at the choir, it was someone in the choir who had loving eyes. Who had understanding eyes like you do, that I knew that she had been through some stuff, because she had the same face I had. And I knew that I wouldn't be stupid to her if I went up and said hi. I knew that she would completely understand. I looked at everybody else. I don't belong. Could you imagine me unsaved? Come on now. This is me saved and redeemed and in ministry for 13 years. You can just imagine what I was before. Just looking for someone to love me. Looking for someone to understand. Seeking it out. Divinely appointed. Where is the person? I really hope I find them. And I remember seeing this woman singing when another lady actually next to me goes, you have to turn the hymnal to page 342 in order to sing the song. I was like, thank you very much, joyful person. So glad I came to a Christian church. Thank you. What's a hymnal? You know, that was me. What is that?
That's that book that's right there. Pick it up. Open it up.
But I looked at the choir, and I saw that one person. That one person changed my life. Because for whatever reason, the Lord said, you will be accepted by me, just like I accepted them. Some of you gentlemen think you're skating by. I'm just going to tell you right now, there's nothing more important than seeing a strong Christian man who takes care of his family, who lives his life according to the word. We don't even need to be married to you, dating you, related to you, or nothing. When we see it, we go, thank you, Jesus. It's like the angels in heaven. Woo! Whenever a bell rings, an angel gets his wings. Whenever we see a man who's walking the walk, do you understand how important that is? Not only your children, but every person, male or female, who never had a good relationship with their father, brother, anybody else, you're healing to them. That's the responsibility you walk with when you're singing worship. Hi, really? Yes. That's what spiritually comes out. So when I say in this room, right here and right now, strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. You need to sing it with that strength, that conviction, because that's part of your arrangement. I will tell you why later. So let's play the A. We go 1, 2, 3, sing, go. It's got an excitement to it. We're lifting up at every given chance. Every time somebody says, will you sing? You say, okay, because I'm singing as unto the... That's right. Okay, moving on. A singer must know the form of the song before they can arrange it. Yeah, I think that's probably right. Don't you? Well, I don't know. I kind of had an idea for the bridge. What was the bridge again? The chorus is really cool. Yeah. Let's do this. I brought two friends of mine today, and I am going to have them come up, probably one at a time. Lisa, will you come up? God bless you. See, you're getting that slick thing going right now. Let's see how we can work that in. Strength will rise with me. Hang on the Lord. We will hang on the Lord. We can do anything. I can arrange the seating and whatever you want. So, Lisa, come up. This is my friend Lisa Jones. She was singing lead because I wanted to take some different... Oh, I have to talk in here. I wanted to take some different examples of ways perhaps to rearrange a song. Just some ideas, okay? So let's pick a song that we know so well. How about, do you know Worthy of My Praise?
Yeah.
Do you know the words?
I will worship.
I will worship.
Yeah.
Okay, give me three volunteers.
Three. Don't rush the stage. Come on. Sing with.
Easy, the confidence shrinks down. I asked for three. I'm all confident. Really, I am. I know who I am, Sharia. I want three volunteers. Okay, thank you. 1, 2, 3. Thank you. She's singing for two. Okay. Now What I want you to do is I just want you to sing the regular form that you normally do. Worthy of my praise, I will worship with all my heart, whatever key it is. Hi. Okay. Sing whatever you know there's nothing wrong. Okay. Whenever you volunteer up here, I want you to know this I consider Sharia's perfect world, which is actually God's perfect world, and nothing goes wrong there. Nobody's wrong. Nobody stinks. Everybody is trying. Everybody is happy. There's nothing you can do up here that's going to be wrong. Okay? Really want you to know that. Okay? Just sing. See what it is. We're going to adjust. Okay, here we go. I will worship. So now, there is just no way to turn this up anymore, is there?
Well,
is it through the house?
It is in the house somewhere.
Do you have any to the house? What channel is the keyboard coming through?
Numero tres.
Three. Is there any way to turn the volume up on don't do it, you could keep working for that. We just want a little bit higher. I want to just play, do like a gospel version of the song. Just play the changes. Gospel version, play the changes. Can you guys hear the difference of where that groove is? That makes you want to sing differently, right? Okay? So now we go ahead and sing the lead voice. Go ahead and sing the lead voice. Try to start from the top. I always tell my choir that if they make a big mistake in front of God and everybody, they get a dollar. Because I like the risk. The risk is good. Just sing it on out. I had a director once that told me, just if you make a mistake, make it look like everybody else was wrong. Okay? So that's perfect. Well, you were right on the money, too. I liked it. Confidence, singing only the notes you know. Perfect. Okay. He's pulling it out. He's getting the dollar. Thank you, Phil. Four quarters, you get a dollar. See? Now, don't you all make mistakes on purpose so you can get a dollar. We'll know if it's a real mistake or not. Okay, so First verse, just the soloists. Second time around, just the echo. Then after that, we'll decide what we're going to do. Go.
I will worship.
For this crowd. I do not have enough money. Pass the dollar to her. That's it. Just $1. It just keeps getting passed around. That was something. I don't. That was jazz. Okay, you get the. Yeah, pass the dollar to her, brother. I'm telling you, I'm serious.
Oh, right on. Pass the door. Pass the dollar.
Have a reason for doing it. Kevin, oh, because my choir director said to sing ooh. 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 Okay, it needs to be. Ooh. Hey. Ooh. Mm. Ooh. Hey. Ooh. That has energy with it. Ooh. Or it doesn't make sense. Ooh. That I want you to put down is whenever there's a pickup for the soloist, meaning so like I will worship with all of my heart. Usually just let them do the pickup. So if she's singing it, go, and I'm singing with her. And in the event, sing only the notes you know. Do you see? I didn't even sing it. I just did it. Hey. Okay, forget it. So what did we learn different? What were the few different things that we learned to do with that particular song? Raise your hand. Yes, in the back. Build. Yes.
She took it. She took your answer. She's a little thief, little answer thief. Sorry.
Yes. Layer. Now, what did you learn in the first? If you got a vocalist singing, is it all skate, all sing? No, you let it build. Then you kind of go to what? Do you go to parts? Nah, we didn't even get to parts yet, did we? See, you can build it out and then leave the very end to the very end, yes? What else did you learn? Embellish? Ooh, the oohs. What did you learn about singing ooh? Yeah, have a reason. Don't make it sound like ew.
Ew.
Okay, what else did you learn? That's right. Creativity is a process. She said flexibility to go with different grooves. Creativity is a process, and you need to establish a comfortable environment. If you're going to be doing more of this type of thing at your church, you need to have time where you're brainstorming, you're practicing things, people are having fun like we're having it, not like, you know, the correction police coming in, now that part doesn't work. Why did you choose that part? That's horrible. Okay, we don't want any of those people in the room during that time. Okay? It's a creative process. Creativity is a free part of art. Okay? What else did you learn? What about the pickup? That the soul will pick it up. Now, what did you think about that when she was saying, I will worship, and then they all joined her? All of my heart. What did you think about that? Liked it. Kind of different, huh? Instead of the regular echo, right? That doesn't mean that we can't incorporate elements of the echo, but we're just kind of changing it up a little bit, yes? Okay. Interpreting the lyrics as the writer might have written them gives a clue as to how the song should be arranged. That's the very last point I'm going to give you before we take our break and move to part D. So we have a very short break, as I took you over just a little bit. So why don't you guys take 5 minutes, come back.